Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Malik Hall, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score. Ron Coomer, Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
Unbelievable.
1999 American League All-Star.
You might expect Wells to mix his pattern up. I mean, Coomer has owned David Wells.
This might work out.
The Coom Dog, every week with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to one of God's great men. He is, of course, Ron Coomer, and he joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Ron, good morning. How are you, sir?
Mikey, David, good morning. How are you guys? I am good. I am in St. Louis. We got here early, had a nice dinner. It's going to be warm and sunny here.
That's great.
I'm doing okay.
And not only that, but you're doing God's work, because I think half the audience doesn't know where the hell Apple TV is or how to plug in or what to do with it. All you got to do is turn on 670 The Score, and you're going to hear
there
the only local broadcast.
You got it. I'm looking forward to it. It's nice to be that Friday game, at sometimes at Wrigley, the day game, or, you know, these games where people aren't sure where to go. So we will be ready and good to go, Pat, and I promise you.
Tough series, though, Ron, coming off the Pirates series, lose 3 out of 4 with the young pitchers starting each of the four games. Yesterday, difficult because of the four errors. Justin Steele gave up the 2 home runs. Overall, how do you describe what happened? Is there one consistent theme that connected those four outings for those young pitchers?
One consistent theme, David. I'm not real sure if you can pin it down to quite that. To me, you know, the first two guys, so Killian, you know, when you watch him throw, he's just, he's struggling, right? I mean, the last two outings, he couldn't throw strikes. He couldn't command his fastball at all. And to me, that just shows that, you know, maybe he's not quite ready. Maybe it's the adrenaline rush of pitching in the big leagues, and, you know, he gets through the first inning and then it went wild. And so I'm no pitching coach, and I never claim to understand pitching or pitchers for that matter. But I just, you know, he just wasn't quite, you know, if you can't throw strikes, you can't command your fastball. He's got to go down, and, you know, he's still a really talented guy. He's just got to go down and get himself ready to pitch in the big leagues. So I think that's one. For Schwarmer, you know, he's basically a two-pitch pitcher, right? He's a fastball slider guy. And he throws a lot of sliders. And I mean a lot of sliders. You know, you're talking about 70% of his pitches are breaking balls. When you do that, still the same idea holds true. You have to command your pitch, right? So if it's a fastball or a slider, you still got to command that pitch. And if you throw it in the middle of the plate and they see it that much, they're going to whack it. And he ended up leaving some balls in the middle of the plate, and they whack the ball around the yard. When he's good, his slider's on the outside corner to a lefty, inside corner to a lefty, or back foot. Same thing with the right. He can throw it inside, he can throw it outside, and then he can throw it down and away for the swing and miss, maybe for the strikeout. But the other day, a lot of balls in the middle, and that's what happens. You know, you gotta be able to command those pitches whatever your main pitches are, you've got to be able to command those on the edges of the strike zone.
I'm curious what you thought of David Ross's reaction to Justin Steele's outing. I think that might have been as interesting as Steele pitching himself. I mean, you know, he did strike out eight, and he didn't walk anybody, and that's obviously something to celebrate. And he was badly done to by the defensive failures on the day. But he also gave up a couple of homers, and he, you know, it was far from a perfect performance. But David Ross really was super positive. And I understand you kind of, you know, Keegan Thompson and Justin Steele are two guys that you got to make sure they come out of this feeling good and doing well, and they're the future. But I was a little confused by David being so over the moon.
Well, here's when you look at the outing, he's had some really good punch out numbers and some good outings here as of late. The issue is when you don't make plays on balls that need to be caught, right? And it's not just the plays that were errors. So there was a double play ball in the middle of the game, didn't get turned. And, you know, when you're a big league baseball player, you expect those plays to happen, right? And they didn't happen. He gets the ground ball. Well, the next ball gets run into the gap, and it scores a couple runs, and it's just a head shaker, right? You're like, oh, we're two outs and nobody on. Now we've given up, you know, a couple runs. And, you know, when you've got young guys on the mound, I think there's a psychology too, right? I mean, the one thing I was happy with him is when the errors were being made, they didn't blow him out of the water, right? He wasn't throwing his glove. He wasn't kicking the dirt. He wasn't doing all those things. He was accepting of, okay, that's just what I got. Let's try to get the next guy. So I think in some of those regards, David is looking at it probably, and I have not asked him, to be honest with you, Mike, but probably looking at a big picture going, if we just make the plays on defense, he's got a heck of a ball game there. Mm. And, you know, and he's had one the last outing. I don't know that for fact. I'm just telling you what I saw and what could be the case. That's what I'm Coombs, what I answer would be that.
Hard to find positives, obviously, with a Cub team this bad, this early. But Ian Happ has been one of them. I think when you look at his war, there's only like four outfielders in baseball that have a higher war than Ian Happ at this stage of the season. Mike Trout, I think, is among them. Aaron Judge, Mookie Betts. Those are three of the guys ahead of Ian Happ. That's great company to keep. The big change, I think, and maybe you disagree, but it looks like from the right side of the plate, especially against left-handers, he's a lot more effective. What is it that he has changed the most that has made him this different?
Well, I think there's a few things. One, I believe he's cut way down on the strikeout, right? He's putting the ball in play more. He's not, to me, what I see is in yesterday's ballgame, he's got an RBI situation or a runner in scoring position from the right side. And he goes out and gets a ball away and shoots it back through the middle early in the at-bat when he gets a pitch to handle. I think there are times for Ian, he would go up there and always want to extend the at-bat to make it five, six, seven pitches. And that's not always great. You know, I would say 95% of the time it is, but that's not always a great at-bat. If you get something good to hit early in the at-bat with runners in scoring position, go ahead and take advantage. And knock the dog out of the ball, and let's drive in some runs, maybe go deep, but do some damage. I see him now having more of a balanced attack where it's not always, you know, working to count to three and two and maybe getting a walk or not. Now he's swinging, he's more aggressive. The other thing about his right-handed attack, which is a good observation by you, David, his swing is much better. I just think the overall swing, the mechanics of his swing are much better now right-handed than they have been, let's say, 2 years ago. I just think he's getting through the ball. His swings are getting closer to even as opposed to left-handed being really good and the right-handed swing not so good. He's getting that right-handed swing to where he's getting some balanced looks from both sides of the plate.
So we come in here this morning, and our executive producer, Dustin Rhodes, is spitting fire because he always is, as you well know, Ron. But he's very upset because he can't define blocking the plate. And he said that he thought Willie did it at the end of the game, but he thought for sure that it was also done to Patrick Wisdom. And it was a bang-bang play, and he was called out at home. Did you have a problem with that? Do you understand? I understand why they put that in. You know, we all love Buster Posey, but do you understand what that means or how it's defined by umpires on a game-to-game basis?
Yeah, well, I understand what the rule is. And if you're asking me, do I like it? No, I think it's a terrible rule. The rule is, and I'll give you kind of what they do on the field. The left foot of the catcher has to be like on the baseline, going up the line, right? Or on the front edge of home plate, kind of to give the back half a lane for the guy to slide in. That is before they get the ball. Once they get the ball, now they can sweep their tag and kind of cover the plate somewhat. If a guy covers the plate and does not give that lane, the base runner is allowed to blast them, which we don't see. That's something you don't talk about, but you're allowed to come in and create a space for yourself at home plate. Now, I personally think you saw Ke'Bryan Hayes last night come in, head first dive and get crunched by Wilson. That's on him. Now, Wilson blocked the play. There is no doubt. I watched the play in live action. I'm watching. The ball's coming home. Wilson basically pulls a Mike Socia, and he's going to sit right on home plate. Good luck. Move me out of the way. And that's why that kid got crunched at home plate. But he scored. I just think if you're coming into home, you have to understand you slide late, you slide with your spikes, and you try to hit that front edge of home plate, and whatever in the way, you got to knock it out of there. I think it's umpire by umpire who's in New York, how they decide whether the plate was blocked or not. The rule states one thing, but I've seen, you know, it's really a gray area. There's no definition to it, really.
Doesn't it seem like easier to determine earlier in a game than in the late part of a game? You know what I mean? Like those bang-bang plays at the end of the game. Yeah,
no question. Coom, really enjoyed yesterday your reminiscing with Pat and Zach. It's fun when you guys were talking about the Sandberg game, June 23rd, 1984, and how you talked about needing to – you were mad at your parents because you had to go to your grandparents.
How are we leaving in the middle of the game?
But Coom, you made it sound – Coom, you made it sound like you were packing into a station wagon and driving to Iowa. You were going down the block. It sounds like, right? So you got to see.
No, yeah, I was six blocks away. I was on basically 63rd in Austin,
okay.
And the half block was Narragansett. That's where I had to go.
All right.
But he was coming up in an inning. He had, let's go. Come on, Dad, help me out here a little bit.
Did you actually miss an at bat because your Cubs Cardinals?
No,
okay.
I did not miss the second at bat, and that was the deal. My grandmother was having dinner. And having, because my mom has four brothers, and they're all younger than her, so everybody was going to the house. And I'm like, I don't really need to go. And I, you know, my uncles and I were real close, and same thing with my grandparents. But, you know, I'm like, Dad, you know, and he's like, get in the car now, let's go.
Oh, that's awesome.
Those were the days, the game of the week.
Well, you know.
It was awesome, right? I just, all those things. You know, when we think about all those things, you know, and sitting at home and watching some of that, that was our only opportunity to see some of the star players. And, you know, I was a National League fan, so to watch the Yankees or watch, you know, the Red Sox play in Fenway Park, you just thought, wow, look at the Green Monster. Aaron, we had Wrigley Field. But, you know, yeah, it was really cool. And great job by the broadcast. I loved the whole idea of it.
You know what a very fun memory will be for people is the squirrel and the way that you guys covered that.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, Ron, like, I think that's the only audio we played from the game because it was kind of a wretched night, but that was hysterical.
We could have used the squirrel for them not to catch the squirrel and stay on the field.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, no kidding.
We need the squirrel.
As a decoy.
Great.
All right, Coop.
Funny.
But you were so right about that. They were never going to catch that squirrel. I knew that the minute they came out, that this squirrel is going to get away from these
Touchdown
dudes.
Squirrel.
He wins. He wins. Yeah. Right? Who didn't grow up in a neighborhood in Chicago
exactly.
And who caught a squirrel? Nobody. Yeah,
nobody.
You're not catching them being squirrels.
It's like Rocky chasing a chicken. You know what I mean? You gotta,
exactly.
You're not going to catch it.
All right, Coom, this weekend, Cubs-Cardinals in St. Louis. What's realistic to expect?
It's going to be a tough series for the Cubs. It is. It's, you know, they've got to play clean baseball. You can't have mistakes. You can't the defense, to me, in the last few days and some of the plays, those are kind of alarming because you don't have the ability with the offense to cover some of those, right? When you're not scoring runs, you really have to play clean baseball to win. So that stuff's got to be cleaned up. With Kyle tonight, I would anticipate David playing his best defensive lineup, you know, to make sure that, you know, Kyle has some support behind him. But you can't, you just have to catch the baseball, David. You can't play baseball and not catch the ball. So, and throw the ball to the right bases and do things like that and hit cutoff men. If you do that against St. Louis with the depth of their lineup, it could be a long weekend. Let's hope that's not the case.
That's great stuff. Coom, thank you, buddy. We'll be listening tonight because God knows we have no other way of getting the game.
Thanks, Ron.
You guys have a great weekend.
All right, you too.
God bless. That is Ron Coomer.
You're not exactly wrong. A lot of people will struggle. It's easy to do.
It is easy to
do. If you commit yourself to doing it, and Cubs fans, as confusing as you might feel going into it tonight, you'll find it if you look hard enough on Apple Plus. But it is not the most convenient of ways.
No. And again, you know, we know that Bernstein has no problem. David has no problem. My TV is too old, so I got to watch it on my device. That's just the nature of
but
the
But you
animal.
Won't regret listening to the radio with those guys.
I'm with Dustin. I think the way to do this, get outside, throw something on the grill, and get a radio going.
Tell Alexa. Tell the smart speaker.
There you go. And maybe have the no volume on with the hockey
If you
game
are still
background.
On speaking terms with Alexa, tell her to play 670 The Score.
She's wonderful to me. She's real. I thank her sometimes.
She has tremendous jokes, too, if you ever ask her for
a joke.
Is that
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. You don't repeat them. That's you.
I just say play 670 The Score, and I will keep walking.
There you go.
Oh, look at you. Always a team player. You know what he does? I think a lot of the in-between stuff, a lot of those special little qualities that people need. That's what Dustin Rhodes does. Should we talk baseball a little bit, or should we stick with the Bulls?
I think we need to talk a little bit about the White Sox. There's a lot going on the South side.
Listen.
We have just spent a segment on the Cubs. Okay. Let's talk Sox when we come back.
God, I don't want
to
talk Sox.
We need to.
We'll do it. Mully and Haw on the score.
He's darting left. He's darting right. He got away. He's in the clear.
He's at the 10. 20. He's at the 5.
He's to the 5. Touchdown, Squirrel.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.